Once we've completed the long, arduous task of writing our chart based on such decisions as our goals, life themes, and option lines, we leave the orientation room and, with our spirit guide, proceed to the heart of the Hall of Justice, to the magnificent white marble sanctity of the vast arena where the council sits at their gleaming U-shaped platform waiting to receive us. The council's role in preparing us for our upcoming trip to Earth is critical. They demand that we rethink our life themes, the potential crises we've written in, and every other area of our goals that might cause us so much pain that we'll miss the point of what we're hoping to accomplish. Again, even with our spirit guide's effort to keep us from taking on too much, we're still likely to present the council with an unrealistically ambitious chart. And in their wisdom, they'll talk us through every step, asking questions and invariably advocating modifications for our own good. If they find it necessary, the council will scan any number of other lives for us in which the same themes were operating as examples, for better or worse, or how the challenges we intend to take on have been handled before. As if our absolute reverence for the wisdom of the council weren't enough, the opportunity to literally watch the consequences of our choices before we finalize them is crucial. Almost without fail, between scanning these other lifetimes and taking the council's protective, loving encouragement, we do end up making adjustments to our charts here and there to maximize the value of the lessons we have our hearts set on learning during our time on Earth. One bit of misinformation I'd like to clear up right now is a theory that when someone is living a life of extraordinary challenges, it's their punishment for some horrible act they committed in a past life. Actually, the truth is almost the opposite of that idea. When the council approves an especially difficult chart, they're expressing great faith in the advancement of the spirit who wrote it and saying, "We know you're special enough to handle this, and we agree that your purpose for taking on these obstacles is worth the sacrifices you'll be making." In other words, extraordinary challenges typically indicate the council's high regard, not their long-awaited chance to act as a grudge from your previous incarnation. Our final act in the sacred presence of the council, once our chart is complete and modified, is to recruit the special help that will be assigned to protect us throughout our upcoming lifetime. Help in the form of angels. Depending on the difficulty of our life themes and chart, we might be given, let's say, 2 angels, 2 archangels, and 1 of the principalities, which, as we discussed, are the big guns of God's legion. I think it speaks volumes about how much more of a challenge life on Earth is becoming in general, as we continue to abuse this planet and each other, that people are arriving from the other side with more and more angels accompanying them. It used to be common for me to see only 1 or 2 angels with most people. I now never see fewer than 2 around anyone, and as many as 5 or 6, counting such levels of angels as archangels, dominions, or thrones, around those advanced souls who are here for their last incarnation. We don't leave the council, and the perceptible presence of God manifests in every audience with them, until our chart is complete and modified, and until we've secured our own blessed protectorate of angels. From there, we proceed to the towers for yet another challenge in the process of leaving home.